playing slow, so we're playing through. Hosted by Bob Ballew and Carl Nicholson. Brought to you by Horseshoe Bay Resort. Play the famous Texas Triangle Championship Golf at its finest. Horseshoe Bay Resort.
Good Saturday morning to you, Austin, Texas, and welcome inside another edition of Playing Through right here on the Horn. Brought to you by Horseshoe Bay Resort. I'm Bob Ballew.
Good morning. I am Carl Mickelson. Bob, great to see you.
Always great to see you, Carl.
It's been, I know it's been a wild week for you. It was for me the same. I spent the early part of the week in Denver checking out Cherry Hills, the new clubhouse, and how the golf course is progressing in preparation for the U.S. Amateur. So that was a lot of fun. But nice. Bigger than that, it's Dell Technologies Match Play Week, which you got a taste of, but didn't get the whole enchilada this time.
You know, this was, I think we've had a lot of conversations. I ran into my good friend, Adam Winkler, he's now in Houston. He was at CBS Austin for 6 years. Many of you remember him. And
of course,
Adam and I'm in Kansas City covering Texas at the NCAA tournament. And I ran into Adam and before we even really brought it up, one of the first comments he made, and I thought this was really interesting. One of the first comments he made was, I'm really bummed out that y'all are losing the event. And as much as I've said that for, you know, the last 3 months since we've kind of known it was going to happen, now that it's here, now that we've gone through the first three rounds, now that, you know, I just start reflecting back on so many different moments and so many different things that have happened in this tournament. And what it means to Austin golf to have something like this and how cool it's been to have match play down by the water, by the Pennybacker Bridge, and the people that have won this tournament have been the elite of the elite in the golf world. I mean, it's crazy to think about who's won this thing. And we always kind of joked early on, like, what's going to happen if they get to Sunday and it's four no-name, and no-names is not really fair. They're the top 64 golfers in the world. In this case, it's 64 of the top 77 this year. So no names isn't really fair. But you know, I'll use an example, like a guy like Ben Griffin this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Ben Griffin were to make a run and go to the final, there aren't a lot of guys who know him. Now, that's a great story for us, and it's a great story to get to learn about him. Before, when you have four guys playing on Sunday and you're trying to draw a crowd – if you have Jordan Spieth and Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy and Jon Rahm, you're going to draw a crowd. You're going to draw a ton of people. That's not to say you won't. Without it, it just kind of takes away a little bit. And so we always kind of wondered early on, like, what happens if that happens on a Sunday? It hadn't happened on a Sunday. It's been elite player after elite player after elite player on a Sunday. And this tournament has meant so much to golf in Austin. And like Wink said, he was bummed. And I'm like, believe me, I'm bummed. Like, you know, we're the ones that are really going to miss out. And he goes, yeah, and it's really going to – Adam's in Houston now. And he was like, it's really going to benefit us in Houston because it's going to make the Houston Open kind of spring back to life a little bit. There's a chance they're going to put that into April. And that's how the schedule's going to end up falling. And it'll be a preparation for the Masters again like it used to be. But – it is a frustration. I mean, and seeing it this way, you know, I was only out there a couple of days because we had to leave for Kansas City to come cover Texas. By the way, an amazing run for the Longhorns. But Carl, it's just a real frustration. It's a real and especially knowing that there's nothing in sight that is going to bring it back. And I don't just mean bring back match play at Austin Country Club. I mean bring back PGA Tour golf in Austin. There are no signs that's going to happen anytime soon, and that's a real frustration.
No, there's so many things that we've talked about this in real time. It's just like every time Tiger Woods gets injured, it's just like, wait, I'm not ready to put this guy into a time capsule. It's sort of the exact same way you feel about this event. I'm not ready to be sitting at the bar and remember when Austin, Texas had this phenomenal golf event where the top 64 players in the world came and they put on such a show. It showcased the city. Everything across the board is just a plus. I mean, every time you walk past the TV and the golf channel's got that frame shot of the lake and the bridge and the golf course, and then you pan around the rest of the golf course and every bit of it is just as scenic and just as good.
And the people out on the boats.
The people out on the boats, I mean, it's really become an iconic part of your your PGA Tour viewing diet. You know, I know it was a WGC event, but I mean, it's a core event on the PGA Tour schedule. And as you said, now Houston's going to slide into a spot that opens up. And yeah, we're really almost in the present talking about this event as if it's in the past. And that's the hardest part, right?
I think so. And I think, you know, you mentioned like putting in a time capsule. Do you have a few favorite memories? Do you have a few favorite things that have happened at the Dell Technologies Match Play that really stick out to you?
Well, I mean, the number one, I mean, for me, the runaway number one, and there's little moments, but I mean, the Rory Tiger match, I think, tops all in the history. I mean, the fact that it happened, that it lined up that way, that the match went the way it did, that, you know, Tiger played, you know, showed what he was going to do a few weeks later with the quality of his play was just phenomenal. I mean, you really sort of felt part of history. I mean, I just spent, you know, two solid days earlier in the week with the historians at Cherry Hills talking about Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus and Babe Zaharias. And you sort of get goosebumps talking about literally being on the grounds and then, oh yeah, right over there. That's where Arnold Palmer drove the green, birdied, and then went on a romp and won the U.S. Open from eight back. I mean, you just, we're not two white-headed guys talking about, oh, I remember Tiger Woods. But in a sense, you sort of witnessed history. You saw Tiger Woods play golf in 2019, just a few weeks before he went and won the Masters, improbably, epically, historically won the Masters. So, hey, I mean, that's how you should feel about it. You should feel like you witnessed some history. And there's just little snippets that we've gotten, but I don't think anything touches that for me.
I totally agree. I think that will be in my top three or four things I've ever done. Sure. Because I walked inside the ropes with those guys for 17 holes. And was, you know, you're privy to all that stuff. Like, I'll give you an example. So, you know, they play that front nine, and they get back kind of up toward 360, for number eight. And it's a par five to us. It's a par mm-hmm. four to them. And Tiger hits a putt and then like takes a step toward the hole as it's going in. And Rory kind of stood there and said, "Nice putt, Kevin." As if to say, you Kevin Nod it is
yep.
You know, but there was nobody back there. I mean, there was no crowd. There was nothing, you know, and people were kind of, but you're not going to walk all the way back there. There's just not a real, you can't get anywhere close to the action.
You're going to lose ground to the rest of the spectators. I mean, if you're not there. So you being inside the ropes made you, that's kind of like you.
So I was standing on the back of the green,
yeah,
10 feet away from them when it happened. And the TV cameras cut to Rory. He says it. And right in the background, you can see on TV, I'm standing there. And you see me kind of laugh. And like people were sending me pictures.
Yeah.
And then on 12, I was standing on the back of the green. And Rory was standing there, like looking at a putt. And I was standing right behind him. And people were sending me pictures of that. And I'm like, this is so unbelievably cool for me.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it was so much cooler to get that close to Rory and Tiger and get to see kind of like what was going on, how, you know, they're on the eighth hole and Rory's like giving Tiger a hard time. Like again, it's the memory that'll go back to my first memory. I'm going to give you three of these. Well, I'll give you a couple more. Cause when we played our media round, remember Tiger Woods hit on 10, hit the left-handed pitch shot from underneath the bushes backward. Like he was left-handed. It was the only way he could get it out, and he punched it out to about 3 feet. And everybody's just like,
yeah, you're right. It didn't just get out. It was an extraordinary, even if it would have been a good lie, you know, nothing obstructing his swing or his path to the hole, it would have been a good leave. 3 feet would have been a good leave from a good lie. He does it from his knees with the club down just at the right angle and just kind of pool cues it. I mean, not even pool cues it. I mean, it's hard to even describe unless you've seen right. The video. Remember the
it's
shot?
It's hard to describe.
How he just takes the leading edge of the club and just pops it right out like he'd done it before.
But there were so many moments like that. And you know, I talk about walking inside the ropes and how mm-hmm. fortunate we are as the media to get to do that. Like, I walked the entire John Rahm, Dustin Johnson match when, you know, DJ went like six up on the front. Rahm came storming back, five holes, got within one, and then lost it on 18. And some right before he hit his chip shot, somebody slammed the big porta potty door, and Rahm wouldn't say it had anything to do with it, but he started to take his club back, and somebody slammed that door. There's so many moments. One of my favorites was Jordan Spieth and Louis Oosthuizen in the first year playing, and Jordan was three down, and they're on 14. And they're walking up the fairway. And this was kind of one of those revelation moments for me. And Jordan is talking to Louis Oosthuizen, pointing back at the houses on the hill across the Pennybacker Bridge, explaining what they are, who lives in them, like what it means, whatever. And I'm walking alongside him going, Jordan's three down with five to go. And he's talking about real estate with Louis Oosthuizen. Like, these guys don't, when they're with people they know, and they're with their buddies, or they're with guys that they like, or they're just in a match like this, they're not like necessarily, I mean, it'll probably happen every now and then, but they're not enemies. They're not like they just kind of laugh and joke with each other and play golf. And it's like, it's a good reminder. Like, when you're playing with your buddies, even if you're playing like a match play or hammer or whatever, like, you're still just playing golf with your buddies. It was kind of one of those cool moments for me.
Yeah, that's a great moment. I mean, just Jordan being a gracious host, realizing, yeah, he knows this place like the back of his hand. Why not? And it is fun. I mean, it is great to live in Austin, because any time you mention Austin to somebody, and when you're in another city, they're fascinated by it. They want to know things, and that's really cool. Yeah, there's nothing that tops being inside the rope. I mean, you have ownership of those. Those are kind of your private memories. I mean, even though they're televised and people are texting you photos of it, you have a little bit of ownership of that and a little bit of piece of golfing history. That's just kind of
– Yeah, and, you know, it wasn't an inside the ropes, like, I'm just doing this for fun. Like, I'm obviously working, and
right.
We're trying to get stories on the air and stuff. But, like, boy, it was just pretty sweet. The other one, Carl, I thought of another one that was pretty great. The Sergio Garcia Matt Kuchar match, when Sergio missed a putt, and there was like, I mean, it was inside a foot,
right?
And Kuchar was, he was going to get it to him. It's not like he wasn't, but Sergio just hit his ball against the hole and it popped out, and they had to stop and be like, Matt was like, I never conceded the putt to you. And he's like, I intended to.
You
just hit it so fast. And so Sergio lost the hole. And if I remember right, he lost one up or lost. And he was, you know, beside himself, livid. Oh, live. Isn't that the perfect word to use? Livid?
That was
livid.
Perfect.
Sergio? Oh, it all works out, Carl. But I saw that one this week, too. There are just a lot of those that, like, when we played our media round this year, I would be on a hole and I'd be like, oh, I remember when – you know, like on five, Jordan Spieth hit this great pitch shot from the fairway that like sucked back to like 3 feet of the, you know. I got one more. Carl, I could tell that I could do this all morning.
Right. No, there's no doubt.
I got another great one, and I'll end on this one because this one's great. Six, the par five that runs down by the back of the practice range.
Sure.
So we're just kind of hanging out. I believe it was a Wednesday. And there was a match going on, and we're just kind of standing over the side. And Matt Fitzpatrick hits a ball. And remember, you know, there are those big bushes. There are like a bunch of them kind of scattered on the left side, kind of over by 7T.
Sure, sure.
Over on that side. So Fitzpatrick hits his ball over there.
So wait, so you're not by the Michelob Ultra tent that's a nice gathering spot on the other side of the green. So that's where I was picturing you.
No, this would have been an approach shot into six. I know it's hard to believe. I'm not in a suite drinking beer. If I could be anywhere, I would be there. So he hits his ball over there, and a bunch of people start looking. And Matt's looking, his caddy's looking, and there are probably 10 or 15 of us looking. And one of the guys that was a volunteer sees a ball, and he goes, Matt, I found a ball. And the caddy goes, what kind of ball is it? And he like looks at it and he goes, it's a noodle. And I was just like burst out laughing. And we're like, do you think Matt Fitzpatrick is playing a noodle? And so I actually picked up a bush and I saw a ball underneath it. And it was his ball because it had, it was Titleist, and his ball, he marks his balls with different color dots. It was like a red, a yellow, a green, and a blue.
Sure.
And I was like, I don't know if, like, I felt bad because it was like, I don't know if you really want me to find this or not, but I was like,
unplayable.
I found it.
Yeah.
I was like, I found it, but I don't know if you're going to like it. And so his caddy came over and he hit the shot. But I was always like, I always laughed so hard because it was like, hey, Matt, are you playing a noodle? And we've always gotten a kick out of that. But, you know, there's a hole in one on seven. I could really go hole by hole because there's so many.
Every single hole has something. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and, you know, I've said this a lot on the show, Carl, interviewing Patrick Reed three different occasions at Dell Match Play. And he was as genuine and as nice as you could possibly be. And engaging. And I've had more people tell me that have played, you know, rounds with him, even since he joined Live. He's that way. He's very engaging.
Just great. It's great to get an insight into these guys. I mean, their temperament. I mean, they really do. And once they get off the course, you really see them decompress, and you see they're just normal people that want to do the things that we want to do. They want to make quality use of their time off the course and get in a workout or go have a nice meal with some friends and family or catch up with people that they know in town. It's just something that was enjoyed. It was something to point to on the calendar. It really does feel like the start of spring for us here in Austin. If you're motivated by golf or you just like being out in that environment. It's like ACL Fest or South by Southwest or any number of events that were just the events out at COTA in Austin FC is now one of those, but it was just one of those touchstone events on the calendar where the weather just started to really get nice. You know, all the people on the boats, all the people just making their way around the course, running into people you know, and really just seeing the best players in the game play in the springtime when their games are sharp. I mean, I've seen so many brilliant short game shots from Xander Schauffele on one and you know, Justin Thomas nearly holing out on nine. I mean, just wild stuff. I mean, just really great shots that you don't get to see week in, week in out playing with your buddies right there in front of you. And you realize they just don't miss. They really, you know, their misses are so minuscule that their bad shots are even your great shots. You know, they can make birdies from anywhere. It's such a
unique tournament on the tour, right?
Right. And
you don't get that. Like if you go out and watch the third round of the Byron Nelson or whatever, like you can go follow some guys around for some holes, but there's not the intensity of every hole. That's what I think is the coolest part of match play in Austin is the scene's unbelievable. I mean, everything about it's unbelievable, but every hole means something. And so these guys are going after each other every hole and it's fun. Like it's
and really, that's why the holes are more memorable. The situations are more memorable because a 72 hole stroke play event can just be a blur unless somebody makes a 60 foot putt or holes out or something. Right. The narrative is nice. You know, you get a beginning, middle, and end with a 72 hole event, but the all the different situations around match play, like you say, lost balls, hole outs, you know, putts, guys walking in putts, all the little moments, all the things that can happen in match play. I mean, just walking into a buzzsaw. I mean, look what Cameron Young did to Davis Thompson in the first round. He went all threes on his opening nine. I mean, that's just exceptional. All threes. Yeah. So add that to the lore. I mean, something that happened this year. And again, we're going to talk about it in the second segment. You know, some of the great matchups because, you know, and that's the other thing that match play does is once you see them bracketed, you know, number 15 versus number 57, it's enlightening. I mean, because you don't hear Alex Noren's name all year, then all of a sudden, oh, he's like 28th in the world. No big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's pretty special. You know, and I think this year the thing that got the most run on day one was Will Zalatoris missing a two-footer.
Right.
And you know, hitting it really hard into the hole and it lips out and whatever. And then everybody starts questioning Will Zalatoris' short game again and his short putts and the way he putts and all that stuff. And like, it's just every little detail matters. I remember, Carl, I got one more for I thought of that was really funny. We were on 12, the par five going down to the Pennybacker Bridge. And it was the first year of it. And I had a buddy in town and we were in the suite on the right side of the hole. Heading down 12, and Tony Finau was on that side, kind of by the bunker, and he had to hit a shot out to the right and hook it in to get it to the hole. And so we just kind of thought like we're fine here, like whatever. And we're standing on the stairs, we're at the top of the stairs watching, and Tony hits a ball that it was 15 feet above our head, about a zillion miles an hour, and we ducked. Like, we were like,
you were on his line.
It was like at us, directly at us. And we ducked down and we were laughing about it. But you get so up close and personal at this event too, with all the players. And it's just tough. I just think in the end, that's the bottom line in all this. It's just tough, Carl. It's tough to see it go. It's tough to see such a unique, cool event in Austin get taken away. And it's going to be a bummer for a long time. You've got some great stuff coming up in the second segment. You got a special guest coming in to kind of break down the round of 16 and what you think is going to happen from here. I'm going to step aside, but
just like the tournament you're at, this one's wide open.
Yeah.
You know, just like March Madness, we've got our own March Madness here in Austin, Texas. It's wide open. Yeah. So we're going to get into a little bit of the X's and O's and the head to head matchups that are going on. And we're going to let you get on, put your basketball hat on and thank you for being with us for this first segment and kind of putting a sad period on the Dell Match Play in Austin, Texas.
And I'm gonna text you my picks.
I love it.
I don't want to give them away because I don't want to jinx anybody here. But I'm gonna text you my picks, and then we're gonna talk about this next week. I really want to get into this next week of what exactly went down, how this whole thing, how it shook out, the end of it. It's just I'm bummed out, Carl. But I'm excited for the weekend. It's going to be fun to see all this kind of shake out one more time and see who comes away with the final. Again, like I said, all these champions have been so good
right
across the board. So it'll be fun to see if we can do it one more time.
It's going to be really good. These players are going to put an exclamation point on this event for Austin, Texas, and go out. I think the event really will go out in style. And what this always does is it gets us excited about the best players in the world. And then in earnest, after a long, long wait, we can talk about nothing but the Masters and who we think's looking good and who we like and, you know, lengthening 13 and all of those things. So we can quickly turn our attention to something really, really exciting.
For sure. Yeah, this is where it gets good, right? I mean, this has always kind of been the start. I know the West Coast swing, they come back to Florida, but this is really where it gets like, okay, match play, and then we're into Augusta, and that's all we're thinking about. So congratulations to Jordan Uplegger and the entire Dell Technologies Match Play crew for everything they've accomplished over the last 8 years, the charity work they've done, the golf they've put on. Bobby Stringer at ACC has been unbelievable getting that course ready, especially after the trees fell this year. Just a big congratulations to everyone involved, and we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it.
There's no doubt. Yep. Just look forward to talking to you again next week, Bob. Appreciate the time. We'll be back with a special guest in the next segment.
Sounds good, Carl. Appreciate it. Y'all go out and make a bunch of birdies, everyone. Carl, have a great finish to the show, and look forward to doing it again next week.
Yep. We'll be back with segment two, talking about the Dell Technologies Match Play and everything left for the weekend. You're listening to Playing Through on the Horn, presented by Horseshoe Bay Resort. Welcome back to the second segment of Playing Through on the Horn, presented by Horseshoe Bay Resort. You know, it's full swing at Horseshoe Bay Resort. You know, they've got water features. I think they had a circus act out there, a Cirque du Soleil style acrobatic show, special cuisine, special concerts out of Horseshoe Bay Resort. And coming up Easter weekend is their big tradition for the balloons over Horseshoe Bay Resort. Balloon Fest Festival. If you love hot air balloons, you love Easter traditions, this is one like no other out at Horseshoe Bay Resort. So go see them on the golf side. Go get a custom fitting, but book a long weekend at Horseshoe Bay Resort. Play Slick Rock, Apple Rock, Ram Rock, or your choice of any couple of those. It's a great time. Course is shaping in beautifully. They do a wonderful job out there with the golf course. So hit them up at hsbresort.com. And there's nothing like spring in the Texas Hill Country. I think you're going to love it. The blue bonnets are in full bloom. The golf is in full bloom. And in full form is a great friend of the show, the David Brenner, Joan Rivers of Playing Through, the guy who has co-hosted the most times, who's bailed us out every time Bob Ballou leaves town.
Bob out needing to go cover some basketball and being on the road with the Texas Longhorns. The million time winner of the Merchandise of the Year in whatever section he's been in, but most importantly, the 2016 National PGA of America, that's where we live, America, Merchandiser of the Year, and no stranger to this show, a great friend of the show, Mr. Kelly O'Donnell. How are you, sir?
Doing great. I've never been spoken of as, you know, the David Brenner and Joan Rivers.
Who filled in? Well, I guess Leno filled in for Johnny the most, but
well, right. I think, that's pretty good.
That's not bad, right?
I appreciate that.
For the six people,
did not see that coming at all. Didn't see it coming at all. But
there you go.
It's well, I think for you and for me, it's just the best time of the year to be in Austin, Texas. I mean, March Madness, and also for golf. So it's a great time to be here, and what an exciting match play we have going on right now, for sure.
It came through, right? I mean, that's the what all the naysayers, if you're a glass half empty guy, and we hear those every year. Well, you could get number 64 versus number 48 in the final, and no one will watch. I don't think we're in jeopardy of that this year.
No, we're not.
Once a year, the match play has kicked in. We've got some incredible matchups this Saturday morning coming up for you. What you're looking at, you've got some Sam Burns, Patrick Cantlay action. You've got Max Homa taking on Mackenzie Hughes, defending champion Scottie Scheffler taking on a red hot TJ Poston. There's a couple of names we didn't think we would mention. Xander Schauffele got through with flying colors. Rory McIlroy did as well. But I think if you told me at the start of the week, we'd be talking about JJ Spahn and Matt Kuchar, DJ,
right,
some of these names. Cam Young's no surprise. But what are you most excited to get into if you pick your feet up and watch some of these matches take place today?
Well, what I always love about this is, yeah, ideally, I think we're going to see three front runners for sure, and then always a fourth guy that might be a Spahn, you know, might be Putnam, somebody like that. I always like that because, you know, you don't know much about them. You don't know their game very well. And what Spahn came in at 61, and he won his whole bracket. You know, no surprise to see Scheffler there. Horschel loves the event. He won 2 years ago. Cantlay Burns, I think that's going to be a great match for sure that you mentioned. It's going to be fun to watch. Homa and Hughes, you know, Mackenzie Hughes loves playing golf in Texas. He always does very well down here for a Canadian.
This is true.
You know, so hopefully he's going to buy a house at Horseshoe Bay, Nick, if he wins. You know, who knows?
That would be a good thing. You know, Brian Woodward over at Horseshoe Bay is very good about putting the names on the bags of PGA Tour players and getting them to wear the Horseshoe Bay logo on the bags. You mentioned it, though, four past champions in this field. So we're looking at Scottie Scheffler, Jason Day, who at 32, who's like the most even Steven guy coming in here, where you don't know if it was going to go one way or the other, or if he was just going to be an also ran in this event. 32, right there, smack dab in the middle of the 64, goes 3-0 through pod play and gets to the weekend, gets to the Sweet 16. What do you make of a guy who's been quiet but is now resurgent in a Jason Day?
Well, I like to see it because I know he's had so many injuries through the years, but, you know, when you look at his stats this year so far, he ranks just behind in strokes gained. I think he's ranked fourth behind Schauffele, Rahm, and McIlroy. So he's poised to be right there. And, you know, I think for all the people who like to go back in time, I mean, we got Kuchar and Day playing together. I mean, what era is that? I mean, that's just kind of unknown. And, of course, with Kuchar, and I saw his interview today, tying Tiger Woods for the most wins in matches at 36, he had no idea. And he was just so elated. You could see it on his face. He says, I've actually tied Tiger in something. You know, I love that. And but, you know, Rory's right behind him. I think his match, his win today was 31. So he's going to be right up there as well. But, yeah, hats off to both Jason and Matt Kuchar for getting to this point because they're kind of the elder statesmen for sure in this in the Sweet 16. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Who knows? But Kuchar, he loves it too. You know, the guys who play very well on firm and fast turf, you see them all right here. I mean, when you look back to most of these guys where they played college golf, they all played, you know, the Southern schools for sure.
you're seeing a lot of that. You're seeing you're seeing some Florida guys, some Alabama guys, some guys that came up on that Furman Fast that you talked about, which leads us right into discussion of the golf course itself. And for a stroke play event, it might be a little bit unusual, but the Pete Dye design, the diabolical nature of the greens, the angles that have to be respected into this golf course. The golf course wins again. The golf course stands up and shows what a phenomenal venue for match play this is. Doesn't matter if it's driver wedge. These are dogfights. This golf course is so, you know, however we got to this point for this venue, this is the end of it. But it's been a successful run for Austin Country Club. And it's just been,
it really has.
Yeah. What better way to cap it off? And we haven't seen the end of the fireworks. We still got today and tomorrow to get through this. But another iconic shot and just something you wouldn't have seen on any other venue was just the amazing drive that Rory McIlroy hit to close out a second round match yesterday. Just a beauty. And just a real thing of beauty. What were your impressions of that? Just taking that in, was that surreal?
Well, you know, if anybody's going to do that, it's going to be him, you know. But you know, I go back to, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago, he talks about his driver change, but he makes his driver change because Tiger's out driving him. Remember when he and Justin That's Thomas right. were paired together?
Absolutely.
And he was so taken aback by Tiger, who's basically, you know, now playing on one leg, but has so much speed. I'm so jealous of that, you know, he's out driving Rory to the point of, you know, Tiger's playing what, part-time at best. And Rory, who's on the top of his game right now, I need to make a driver change because this guy's out driving me. Are you kidding me?
Golf is so unusual, right? Sometimes you get paired with a 64-year-old guy who outdrives the group, and then you might have a, you know, a 6'4", you know, 220-pound guy that's hitting first into the green. You never really know with this game.
No, you don't. Yeah.
And age is becoming less of a factor. Yeah. We talked about it with Bob, but I'd love to hear your impressions about what you saw in Tiger Woods in a very, obviously, let's be fair, a very small sample size. But if he wasn't good to come back, I don't think we would have seen Tiger at Riviera. What did that inform? What did that tell you about what Tiger can do at Augusta National in the Masters in 2 weeks?
Well, I think because, you know, I was blessed to go to the Masters last year for the first time and see him there. And, you know, to really understand, as I've been told through the years, just the undulation there. It's a hard walking golf course. There's no doubt.
That's a factor.
It's a huge factor for him because you can see even at Riviera, I just really felt so bad for him. You can see how he's really, by the end of the round, really dragging that leg along. I mean, just to. And, you know, what he has to endure and how much earlier he's getting his whole body ready as he credits his team. I mean, how big is that team to just, you know, get him out of his, you know, his cryo chamber or whatever he's doing to just get up and be able to walk? I mean, it's pretty incredible. And, you know, I've seen some shots of his foot and his leg, and there's really not much there. I mean, there's not much there at all.
That's why it's just amazing. But the fact that he was generating the ball speeds that he was, the swing speed,
putting 174, I saw. Yeah, it's incredible.
That's serious. That's enough to compete against the best players in the world, especially if you're hitting some of the kind of quality iron shots Tiger Woods was hitting in Riviera.
Mm-hmm.
That's what fascinated me. So really, the missing link was short game and putting. And if there's anybody in the universe that can figure out short game and putting,
it's Tiger Woods,
leading into the Masters. So I'm just very, very curious to see how sharp he comes in.
It's just a matter of stamina, I think, for him. Because mentally, he's still the best player there is. He figures out a way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, let's get back into Dell Technologies match play, but I'd love to hear your other thought.
Oh, I was just going back to, just through the years of talking about Austin Country Club, and, you know, we play that golf course so many times. And I remember when it first came there and the decision to switch the nines, and, you know, even watching it, I still have to do the math and whatever hole it is and go, okay, wait a minute.
That's even after all these years, I know. You four when you meet 13 and vice versa, and 2 and 11. Yeah, so much gets transposed, 9 and 18, 1 and 10.
Right.
So I guess, and well, that answers that. We never did figure it out. We never got those straight for the entire run of the Dell match play.
But. No, we didn't. You know what? I was really, you know, as a golfer at heart, disappointed because I felt like the back nine, which they play as the front, had so much more challenge to it, but not necessarily so through the years in match play. I think, you know, seeing the Pennybacker Bridge, the water behind, you know, down on the bottom, and just the risk reward of the front nine, now it's brilliant because, you know, there's guys that could be so far down, you know, playing the front nine, come back around and are still in the matches They can be closed out pretty quickly. So, you know, I actually have changed my mind through the years about how they play it there. And yeah, they like it firm and fast. And so what, the guys are hitting it a lot farther. It's still a challenge around the greens. There's no doubt.
You're right about it. Playing ACC, when we get the opportunities to go out there, 17 and 18 are a phenomenal finish. But for TV, you know, reversing the nines, put Austin, Texas on the map to show the lake and the Pennypacker Bridge and all the holes along the water made that course just as iconic. And, hey, the golf course really is a representation of golf in Austin, Texas and the state of Texas when people in California are watching. The same way we look at Torrey Pines or Pebble Beach.
Sure.
They've got an impression of how cool it is to play golf here and some of what of our best golf courses look like. So just a really, really great opportunity. Mission accomplished for Dale Morgan, Aaron Chielik, and the team over there at Austin Country Club.
Absolutely.
To have put on this event, held it up, had the support of the members, and really just show off and show Austin and golf in Austin in magnificent style. And really just be an ultimate venue for match play. I mean, this was win-win. I mean, it really was an embarrassment of riches to have this event here and have all the great memories that were built through the event.
Yeah, I agree. I've always enjoyed going out there to it. And, you know, just the marquee field that we're able to get it year over year and the guys who play well and come back. And you just look at the winners through the year. They're all future Hall of Famers that win here. So
this is true. Well, tell me about some of those future Hall of Famers. Who do you like? At the end of the day, go out and make some bold predictions for me. Who's still standing at the end of the day?
Oh, I think Scottie Scheffler for sure. Cause you know, I don't know, who knows how many times he's played ACC through the years. He's just comfortable really at any venue right now. And I really like what he said in his interview earlier today. He said, you know, he said earlier in the week, he likes match play just because of the simplicity of it all. He's truly a one shot at a time guy. They've asked him, what do you think about last year? He goes, oh, I haven't even thought about last year. He didn't think about any of that. He just thinks about what's ahead, what's the next shot. And that's the guy you've got to worry about.
And you said the other thing you have to worry about, when a guy looks really comfortable and almost like slow and methodical on the golf course, but he's executing every shot time and again, and he's not really looking to break a sweat, that's the guy who's just like, when is he ever going to slip and let us get in there? Because that's what Scottie Scheffler's been. To add the Players Championship to his Phoenix Open defense just really says this guy's playing at another level for you know, the past 12, 14 months. It's been amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and Max Homa's had a terrific year, too. I mean, he's got a great mindset. His demeanor for match play, I think, is excellent. Kuchar and Day, I mean, I think whoever comes out of that, one of those guys will be somebody to deal with, because that momentum is just going to carry them through with all the experience they've had. I mean, I don't know. I'd love to see Cameron Young. I really like how his game has skyrocketed. He's fun to watch. He's not scared of anybody at all.
No.
And, you know, Cantlee is a silent assassin. Sam Burns, I like his game. He's local. You know, even though he's Louisiana, I still feel like he's a local guy as well.
Correct.
It's just going to be a great weekend. I mean, there's just not, you know, I'm really shocked that Jordan's not going to be there. Rom for sure. That's kind of a shock that he's not going to be there either. So
that's tough. But I still love what where both of those guys are leading into major season, leading into the Masters.
I do too.
I think they just kind of got cut, but each got cut in a little buzzsaw and had a few tough breaks on the golf course. I don't think
I do too.
Any indication that they aren't going to be right there when it comes down to that. Yeah, I mean, I think if you like to play favorites, you'd love to see a Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy final if it comes down to that. But any number of guys can play spoiler. I mean, I love your talk of Cam Young. I think that's great. I think Xander Schauffele looks really good right now. That's a name we haven't really
mentioned. No, he does. No, we haven't. But, yeah.
You know.
But I still feel like there's always like one guy.
The spoiler.
That's way down the list his putter gets hot. So I still think we're going to get that. I think we're going to get at least two marquee guys we'd expect to get there, and then potentially one or two guys who are like, holy cow.
Yeah, I think watching
3,500 to 1 or whatever they're going to be. Yeah. I think you're always going to get that guy, and that's what I like about this event.
Well, there's no doubt about it. So what Rory and Xander have to watch out on their side of the bracket is two of the hottest putters on the tour right now, and Lucas Herbert and Kurt Kitayama, who really out-putted the field. I mean, he wasn't the favorite. I mean, you had a chance for Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler at the Arnold Palmer Invitational a couple weeks ago. Pause and leave out? Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and who comes out on top?
Kitayama.
Kurt Kitayama, who was the only guy bold enough to putt his natural pace. Everybody was kind of dying putts at the hole and hoping they didn't roar past the cup.
Right.
It paid off for him. Doesn't always, but I mean, but
no.
What a great way to do it, because Palmer always told young players, I mean, yeah, you're going to have to fire at some pins over water, over sand. You're going to have to take some risks. Kitayama did it with his putter, which is kind of ironic. People don't think is there's calculated risk with your putter, but when the greens are blazing and everybody else is babying and dying putts. So Kitayama, dangerous man. Again, I there's really no reason to bet against Scottie Scheffler, but anything at all can happen, and probably will.
He's playing against the other JT. That's another guy that I thought was going to get further, but he's kind of struggling right now too, Justin Thomas. But we have another JT in Poston, a great putter, and Scottie already knows who he's against. He says, I'm going to go out and give it my best and see what happens.
It's been great watching, and today and tomorrow are going to be phenomenal. Let's take a quick break and then come in and wrap it up for a short segment. Thank you all. You're listening to Playing Through on the Horn, presented by Horseshoe Bay Resort. I was going to give you the website, hsbresort.com, presented by Horseshoe Bay Resort. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Playing Through on the Horn, presented by Horseshoe Bay Resort. I am Carl Mickelson. With us, filling in for Bob Ballou, is PGA professional Kelly O'Donnell. We had a good time in the second segment talking about the matches we're going to see today at the Dell Match Play. Just any number of sizzling matchups going on. I'm going to put you on the spot one more time, Kelly. Left. Who is your guy? One guy, one pick.
I'm going out on a limb. Cameron Young for the win.
I love the way what was better than 9-3s going out in 27 in his first match this week. That was blazing, and he really hasn't slowed down. He really hasn't cooled off.
No.
He's buzzing through guys.
And he's been just rising. He's got to have a big win soon, and it might be this. But you know, there's so many guys he's got to get through. There's a lot of guys here that are so comfortable with the golf course. Horschel loves it there, Kuchar loves it there, Scheffler. So you know, it's and Rory McIlroy, that guy.
You can never bet against Rory McIlroy. He's golf's greatest diplomat, and he still remains one of its greatest players, one of the top three players in the game. Just an amazing specimen for everything he's had to do for the tour and everything he's had to do to kind of put golf on his back, politically, ideologically,
right,
from a business standpoint, and still play at a top level. I think that's a very motivated man, very good pick. I'm going to go Max Homa. I'm going to go the other side of the bracket, yeah. Not go Scottie Scheffler, not go,
I think,
you know.
He
looks comfortable too. That it's not really a dark horse. I mean, Homa is a legitimate superstar, right, in the game now. He's winning at a clip where he's a legitimate star, budding superstar. I like him.
Yeah, he doesn't get flustered on the greens, and he doesn't miss many at all. But you know, I also think as well, the Kuchar Day match, whoever wins that one, they're going to be there too.
Those are legendary match play players. I mean, you look at Day's record in the President's Cup, and like you said, Kuchar has played on so many Presidents and Ryder Cups.
Yeah, he's
comfortable in match play. We're going to miss match play. We don't get to see it enough. This was
I agree.
On the calendar. I hope there's a way the tour figures out. Of all the things the tour has solved and figured out in short order since the threat of LIV Golf, hopefully match play is the next one they can get their heads around it and get that back on the calendar sooner than later.
I agree with that because I like seeing events like this. I like the partnership that they do in New Orleans. I think it's just nice to have a little variety to the tour events. For sure. And match play is a big part of that. I saw that, you know, somebody tweeted earlier today, what if we brought back, you know, one of the championships, because the PGA Championship used to be match play as well.
Right.
I don't know if we want to do a major that way, but, you know, maybe so. I mean, because it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch.
I would love that. I would love the PGA. I think that would bring some sizzle back to PGA. That might be the ultimate solution. PGA of America's got to get involved. They've got to want it. You know, but that would be a phenomenal solution. If you could only have one, Kelly, I'm going to put you on the spot again. If the PGA Tour would bring out a male and female event themed event,
yes,
or match play, and you could have one back on the tour schedule.
So isn't that happening this fall?
I thought they're bringing back what used to be the JCPenney, but I don't know that it's an official event. I'm thinking like a real official event that was like in the middle of the, not silly season, like a real, or whatever that was, Wendy's 3 Tour or something like that, I think is coming back.
What about a mixed match play event?
Well, yeah, it's all at all. I love that.
No, I think match play needs to stay for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I know the challenge of, you know, mixing two or three tours has to kind of be at the end of both tours, just the way their schedules lay out.
Right.
So I don't know that you'll see a mixed event within the regular scheduled times, but match play for sure.
We need to find a way to get match play back in our diet. Soak it in this weekend. It's the last match play event we're going to see on the PGA Tour schedule for a while. It is a Ryder Cup year, so we've got that going, but enjoy it while you can. Thanks for listening to Playing Through on the Horn. Big Ugly Tailgate is next with Johnny Rogers and Casey Studder. Get out to Whitfield's Barbecue if you get a chance. I know that's just down the street for you, Kelly. You got no
excuse. Oh, I love it.
I'm going to need to do it. You're going to
the ribs are fantastic.
They really are. Enjoy the Dell Technologies Match Play one last time, 2023. We'll see you next week. Go out and make a bunch of birdies, everyone. I won't be able to stay, but I'm going to kiss you one more time, then I'm going.